For one heartbeat, sheer surprise held her stiff and unresponsive in his arms. But only for a heartbeat. It was, of course, a flagrant and scandalous breach of all proper rules of decorum, she thought, as she melted into his embrace, not to mention the way it violated etiquette, protocol, and common decency, and she couldn't have cared less. For a moment, everyone else seemed equally dumbfounded by the abrupt departure from the occasion's planned, dignified choreography, but then the cheers began again. Different cheers this time. Cheers that rippled with laughter and were punctuated by clapping hands and whistles of encouragement. Charlian would recall that later, treasure the pleasure for Caleb and for her, implicit in those cheers, those whistles, that clapping. At the moment, it scarcely registered. Her mind was on other things entirely. It was a long, ardent, and very thorough kiss. Caleb was a methodical man, and he took the time to do it right. Finally, however, due to a simple lack of air, no doubt, he straightened once more, smiling down at her through the whistles and stamping feet. Beyond him, she saw Earl Lockisland, Commodore Manthir, and Captain Athrawes trying very hard not to grin like schoolboys, and the delighted laughter around her redoubled as she shook her finger under her husband's nose. "Now you've gone and proven what a lewd, uncultured lout you are," she scolded, her eyes sparkling. "I can't believe you did something that improper in front of everyone. Don't you realize how you violated protocol?" "Damn protocol," he told her unrepentantly, and reached out to touch the side of her face with his right hand while his left steadied the descending bosun's chair for her. His fingers were feather gentle on her cheek, moving caressingly, and his eyes glowed. "That was fun, and I intend to do it again. Often. But for today, if we don't get you into this chair and off this ship, we're all going to miss the tide, and then we'll probably have an outright rebellion on our hands." "I know." She allowed him to help her into the chair, although she was scarcely so feeble that she required the assistance. He checked personally to make sure everything was secure, and then the bosun's pipes wailed, and the Marines snapped to attention and presented arms as she was lifted from the deck. The ship's bell began to strike, its deep, musical voice ringing out even through the tumult of renewed cheering. It struck 24 times in the formal salute to a crowned head of state. "Take care of him, Merlin," she heard herself cry suddenly. "Bring him back to me." She hadn't meant to say anything that maudlin, certainly not in front of all those other eyes and ears. Fortunately, the cheering all around her was so overwhelming no one possibly could have heard her. Except for one man.
"I will, Your Majesty."
Somehow, the Seijin had heard her, and his deep voice cut through the roaring surf of all those other raised voices projected for her to hear. She looked back at him, standing by Caleb's shoulder, like a shield at her husband's back, and his unearthly sapphire eyes gleamed in the sunlight as he touched his left shoulder with his right fist in formal salute. Charlian Armok was no sheltered hothouse flower. She'd learned long ago that life was no heroic ballad in which good always triumphed magically over evil. She'd been no older than 12 when her father's death had taught her that and brought her girlhood to a shattering end. Yet, in that moment, as her eyes met Merlin Athrawes's bright blue gaze, she felt a sudden, irrational yet overwhelming confidence. She looked at him as the bosun's chair rose higher, then began to dip towards the waiting cutter, feeling that assurance flowing out of him and into her, and her eyes prickled with a sudden rush of tears. Every eye in that harbor was looking at her. Every spyglass was trained upon her, and she knew it. knew they could see her fighting back her tears like some sort of schoolgirl. She didn't care. Let them think what they liked, believe what they chose. She would cling to that last glimpse of the husband she'd come so unexpectedly to love and to a sapphire promise to bring him home to her once more. We hope you've enjoyed By Schism Rent Asunder, a Macmillan audiobook from Tor Books. This program was produced by Robert Kessler. Text copyright 2008 by David Weber. Production copyright 2008 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.